You're in the home 6010.
Welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. It is Tuesday, October 25th. Daniel Field and Stefania here, holding down the fort, heading into week 8. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico, see all the ways that you can save. Stefania,
why do they say holding down the fort? When shouldn't you be holding it up?
It's because, I don't know if you've ever watched, I'll tell you why right now. It's
okay.
I don't know if you've ever watched
you
dads driving down the road and they're holding something while they're driving on the top of the roof of their car. It's like holding down the fort. I think it's because we're so strong, like we can physically hold the fort down with one hand while driving 60 miles an hour.
Is that actually the truth, or did you just make that up?
I just made that up.
Okay, because you had me convinced for a second. I know the answer to that.
I was like, that expression came from before.
I don't think cars were invented when you said holding down the fort.
Because you're talking about a fort.
Well, maybe it was a wagon. Maybe they had a bunch of wagons.
I'm trying to, there are so many expressions that we just use. They've become colloquial, but we have no idea the origins of them. You know what? My brain is not capable enough to do a lot of things, including trying to figure out where these expressions came from.
I'm with you on that one. What it is capable of doing, though, Field, is asking Stefania a bunch of questions that we did not get to ask on the Monday podcast because we have so much to get into.
This is a busy week.
I had to bring the full notebook because there's too many.
Let's start. Unfortunately, a lot of news to get into. Not a lot of fun stuff right now. However, Stefania, let's start with Breece Hall on IR. Let's just jump into what you know about Breece Hall in the situation.
This is awful, right? He was on track to potentially be the rookie of the year. I mean, it's been fantastic. Torn left ACL and a minor meniscus injury, according to our Adam Schefter, happened in the second quarter. He already had 4 carries for 72 yards and a touchdown. A couple of catches. Look, here's what's interesting to me. This is the kind of little detective work that I do. First week in October, he was on the injury report because of a knee issue. So now I'd be very curious to find out if he had something going on that was sort of a pre-sensitizer to this actually happening or if it was completely unrelated. But either way, done for the season. Breece Hall will obviously undergo reconstructive surgery. And hopefully everyone has learned by now that we don't automatically assume that a player will come back right away.
Yeah.
But I do think the fact that it's happening in the first half of the season, that does give him a better shot to be ready by the time we get to training camp.
Yeah, more on the rest of the Jets news in just a second, but just quickly to Stefania's point, frustrating in a lot of ways, disappointing for Breece Hall, who looked like potentially like one of the 5 most valuable running backs in Dynasty, the kind of player that next year might be in the conversation for the first round in redraft leagues. All of a sudden, that picture has changed dramatically because, as Stefania said, and we've been reminded time and again, whether it's Saquon Barkley at the running back spot, wide receivers who have taken more time than you might expect to get back to full speed this season, these ACL tears may be now a 6 to 9 month recovery, but recovery on the field is different from reaching where you were before. But it just stinks from Breece Hall because all the hype that he merited during the pre-draft process and realized in this portion of the season, unfortunately, is now gone for the rest of the year. The Jets at 5-2, though, still a competitive team. And that's why they made a move here, Dan.
Yes, they did. They acquired James Robinson, which was something that I was certainly not expecting. And as somebody that rosters a lot of Michael Carter, at first I was, I don't want to say excited, but it's like, hey, maybe Michael Carter is going to have a little bit more value in this offense. Then in comes James Robinson. Now, how do we break down this backfield, Field?
Yeah, so I think in the short term, I think you can expect this week that Michael Carter is the lead back for the Jets, only because it's hard for a guy. I know Christian McCaffrey was like, I need half a practice to get on the field.
Yeah.
But James Robinson, I don't expect to be the version of the player he will be in time with the New York Jets. Michael Carter is a very solid, useful player as well, especially as a pass catcher. I think, though, where this nets out is that we're not going to have a Breece Hall performer in the Jets backfield because while James Robinson's a talented guy, he's not the special level of talent that we saw from Breece Hall. They also lost their best offensive lineman, Oliveira Tucker, for the rest of the season. So the run blocking probably not going to be as good, but I don't think you make this move for James Robinson to have him be a bit player. I think he ends up, and maybe this is 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now or a month from now, as somewhere like in a perfect world, 12 to 18 carries per game with a few targets per game. And I think that he becomes sort of a low-end RB2, maybe a strong flex consideration. And I think because of Michael Carter's passing game acumen and the fact that I do think he'll get a few more carries than he has been seeing of late. Mm-hmm. I think he stays in that flex territory as well. So confident in Michael Carter for this week. I think for the rest of the season, if I had to choose between one Jets running back, I would choose James Robinson, a guy who has been one of the better sort of pull yourself up by your own bootstrap stories in the NFL since entering it as an undrafted free agent out of Illinois State.
Yeah, weeks 4 through 6, Breece Hall averaged 20.3 touches per game, which means there's a lot of touches to be able to go around for those running backs. They're definitely going to go somewhere really quickly before we move on from this.
We can't yet. Yeah.
Travis Etienne.
This is a massive story.
Yeah. I mean, like, skyrocketing.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're hoping for now. And we saw some signs of this. Maybe this deal makes more sense when you look back at the fact that the Jaguars gave James Robinson 0 touches on Sunday. He had 11 total snaps. Travis Etienne had 53. We discussed this on Sunday night's show.
Yep.
And I think that having 80%+ of the snaps is a difficult chore for any running back. There's only like 2 or 3 guys that are in that territory right now. It's Saquon Barkley, it's Josh Jacobs, a couple others on occasion. But the door is open for that for Travis Etienne. And if we get somewhere around 80% of the snap for Travis Etienne, there's only one thing needed to unlock a potential top 10 running back, because he got 14 of the 15 running back carries this past Sunday. Mm-hmm. Michael Hasty got one of them. Again, no touches for James Robinson, but his route participation for Travis Etienne. He's such a good pass catcher. He had 5 targets on Sunday. You like that. He caught just one of them, but our buddy Jared Smola pointed out that he only ran a route on like 43 or 45% of the dropback. Sorry for not knowing the exact number there. If that number boosts up to like 55, 60, 65, then we have a chance for Travis Etienne to go to the moon. A reminder, people, 25th overall pick just last year. And I know that it was a different coaching staff, but same GM and Trent Baalke. And in college, we're talking about one of the most decorated players in the history of the ACC, at least on offense. The guy was an absolutely incredible pass-catching back. Let's hope we see more of that. If you have Travis Etienne, your team just got dramatically better.
Yep.
I just like to take a moment to remind people who said Travis Etienne was done when he had a Lisfranc injury.
Not so fast, my friends.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. These guys are both James Robinson coming back from an Achilles. And sure, I mean, obviously, he's going somewhere else now. We'll see what happens with him. But James Robinson certainly performing above expectations, and Travis Etienne clearly not done, never got started, and now, like you said, to the moon.
Locked in as a set it and forget it running back in your fantasy lineup for the rest of the season, period.
Yeah, we sure feel that way, right? Yeah. We always want to see how the team uses the player, but the opportunity right now is just wide open for Travis Etienne.
Huge for him. What about the opportunity for the guys in Carolina, Stefania? Let's talk about Chuba Hubbard, which unfortunately left with an ankle injury. How serious is that?
Well, it sounds like it wasn't that serious. Adam Schefter said that he had word that he could have returned to the game. He left in the fourth quarter, so was like it happened late. He obviously started at running back on Sunday. So this is good news for them, because I don't think it doesn't sound like something that's going to cause him to miss time, although you never know. Keep an eye on the practice reports during the week.
Well, as we expected, Field, they ran 24 times for 181 yards against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, tricky one. That was one of the best run defenses in the NFL. You think it's going to be a brick wall against a downtrodden Carolina offense. And of course, as you mentioned, they go ham. A little bit tricky to evaluate this one for a couple of reasons. Both of them played a lot. It was 27 snaps for Deontay Foreman, 23 for Chuba Hubbard. Obviously, he got injured, as Stefania just referenced. So it was basically a 50-50 split on Sunday. The Panthers were great for one game. They're also still dead last in total offense this year.
Let me ask you a question. They get the Atlanta Falcons this next week, another team that leads the NFL in just how they want to run the football. If they're trying to slow this game down, are they potential options here for starting lineups if they try to like game plan it?
Ranks should be out here any minute on ESPN.com. And I have Chuba Hubbard ranked behind Deontay Foreman only because of two things. One, in case his ankle limits him at all, and even if he plays, he may not be at 100%. And two, I thought Deontay Foreman eye test looked slightly better. Both of them did run well, but Foreman, who ran really well last year when filling in for Derrick Henry, just think is a superior runner overall. I think both of them are in the flex consideration range, Daniel, just because, well, I'm so happy for Steve Wilks and the entire Panthers team for getting that win. It's tough when your team is downtrodden and people are saying you're tanking. I do have some concerns that this offense could come back down to earth even if Atlanta on paper is a much easier test than Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it's definitely a week by week consideration here with these.
Thought you were
going
to call them a 1 week wonder.
No. It's just when you're looking at these running backs, it's week by week consideration based on what the matchup is. All right, let's talk about Mike Boone. Unfortunately, Stefania also heading to the IR. Another Denver Bronco.
High ankle sprain for Mike Boone, and you know Denver went straight to London. So the Broncos went straight to London. And I think they made this decision knowing it's a high ankle sprain. It's going to be a multi-week injury. Why don't we go ahead and place him on IR? Because it's going to be at least 4 weeks. There's one thing that you want to take note of. You hear with these high ankle sprains, x-rays are negative. Well, what does that mean? They're looking for a fracture because the mechanism injury can result in a fracture on the most severe kind, fracture of the outside bone. But they're also looking to see if there's like a widening of the two lower leg bones because the ligaments that are sprained with a high ankle sprain, when they're torn completely, you do see a gapping. Yeah. Doesn't always show up totally on x-ray. Sometimes it takes other imaging tests. But even a moderate sprain might not show anything on x-ray. It's not till they test it more later they find out it's more significant. So just a little educational moment for you when you hear about x-rays negative and you wonder, well, then why is a guy out on injured reserve? That's why.
It's week eight, and the Broncos running back that you most want to play, and most is relative, is Latavius Murray. Yep. Imagine saying that sentence in July. Right, Javonte Williams, potential breakout player, Melvin Gordon.
Latavius Murray wasn't even in the Broncos.
Even 3 weeks ago, you would like, you know, Melvin Gordon, he had not sort of lit the world on fire the first week.
It was a question of who is it, Javonte or Melvin? That was the only conversation.
It's just crazy to me that here's where we're at. I think if in a perfect world, and it's far from that in fantasy, I'd prefer to avoid this backfield. Murray has found the end zone. He's been the most utilized runner over the past couple of weeks. Remember, Nathaniel Hackett called last week, Melvin Gordon's a starter. So that was not the case. As I mentioned, just because you start the game, it does not mean that you are the starter in terms of utilization. I think if I had to throw a dart at one of these guys, it would end up being Latavius Murray.
Best end zone opportunity, I think.
That's my guess as well. They're really not using these guys in the passing game, and the passing game stinks.
It's
a mess right now. We are at the point of the season where we know which backfields can be avoided, and the Broncos are very, very close, if not already there, in terms of avoiding them entirely.
Broncos have a bye in week 9, so IR means she's out through week 12 at the least.
Oof. All right. Let's talk about David Njoku. Stefania, with an ankle injury, how long should fantasy managers expect to be without him?
Well, it's another high ankle sprain, ankle. Okay. And Stefanski said he's out 2 to 5 weeks, or that's the report. I don't think that's waffling. That's just how these things are, right? It could be a two-game injury. Remember, they have a bye in week 9. So you wonder, when they were saying 2 weeks, did they really mean
two games?
Right, and it's like 3 weeks, or is it really 2 weeks and they're counting the bye? Who knows? But this is going to be a week-to-week situation. You're not going to know for a while. Probably depends on how he feels.
I think it's going to sound a little bit crazy because right now there are a lot of injuries. I think if you have David Njoku, you should be considering holding on to him. It's hard to hold to roster two tight ends, but
We talked about him as being one of the tight ends on the rise, too.
He has been on the rise. He has been utilized. And while the Browns do have good depth at tight end, they'll probably get more out of Harrison Bryant and also Pharaoh Brown, who they recently brought back after being released by the Texans. David Njoku is a premium athlete. And I had my doubts coming into the season because he'd always been more sort of hype than, I would say, reality. But he has been a reformed player this year, got paid a bunch of money, has been worth the investment so far. Unless you grab David Njoku early on waivers, even if you already had one of those, you know, two elite tight ends or even 5 or 6 usable tight ends, I'd be holding on to David Njoku because if he's out for just, let's say he is back in 3 weeks, then I do think for the rest of the way you would have a very usable tight end. Again, Deshaun Watson expected to return in week 13. So if you make it that far, you might have a guy who plays in a much better passing offense for the playoffs.
How about we add on to that field? I would expect him. You're saying that because there's the expectation that fantasy managers might drop him. And now he's going to be out 2 to 5 weeks, plus he has a bye week. If he gets dropped in any of my leagues, I'm definitely picking him up. I don't care who I have at tight end. I think he's just too good to be able to leave out there on waivers for someone else to have. Let's talk about DK Metcalf, Stefania.
When he got on the cart, Twitter went a buzz, you know, it was like, what are we bringing the cart out for? It turns out it was knee injury. And luckily for him, it was not what they thought at first, which was a patellar tendon rupture. But it did sound like he injured his patellar tendon in some way. That's what Pete Carroll said on his radio appearance. it's hard to gauge this because I don't know what that means. You know, what does it mean? Was it a strain? Was it a partial tear? I mean, those things are very different in terms of how they play out functionally and performance wise. It's interesting because Pete Carroll said that DK Metcalf wanted to practice on Wednesday, and they were like, whoa, you know, hold on. So I don't even know whether he will miss time or not, but the relief, the sigh of relief in Seattle is that this is not a season-ending injury, which is what they thought it was initially.
I think we'll table further analysis until we have some practice participation. Marquise Goodwin found the end zone on Sunday.
Yeah,
they've got
nice.
Some guys that can catch passes there. They got
back.
A lot of tight ends. But obviously, if DK misses time, Tyler Lockett's the only wide receiver that you are comfortably starting for Seattle.
Absolutely. All right. What about Mike Williams to find you another wide
receiver?
Turn
the page.
Oh, that's how big this is. Yeah. Notebook. All right. I had to turn the page on that one.
This was an ugly injury when it happened. I don't know if you've seen the clip because the right high ankle sprain is exactly the mechanism for it, right? Your foot gets rotated outwards relative to your lower leg and a player landing on top of it. I mean, these are the ones that can become very significant because you can tear the ligaments, you can damage the ligament on the inside of the ankle, you can end up potentially with a fracture. All we know is that it's a high ankle sprain for Mike Williams. And look, it's going to be weeks, not days, according to Brandon Staley, and that is true. He is telling the truth. They have a bye in week 8. We'll see what ends up happening.
What the heck?
He was their lead wide receiver. And here's the thing. Keenan Allen returned, and I will say this about Keenan Allen's return. He 2 catches, 11 yards, played 23 offensive snaps. Remember I talked about on Sunday how sometimes you can dip your toe in the water before a bye? And I think that's exactly what they did here. They said they ended up taking him out of the game because he felt he couldn't go full burst. He didn't have the explosiveness. They didn't want to risk further injury. But that was actually a really good test because now he knows where he's at. With a bye coming next week, hopefully that's enough time for Keenan Allen to feel like he's turned the corner. But Mike Williams is going to be gone for a while.
And if you have, if someone in your league dropped Josh Palmer because of the pending return of Keenan Allen, plus his concussion that made him unavailable in week 7, I'd be looking that direction. I also think that we'll continue to see a very, very busy Gerald Everett.
Heavy dosage.
Yeah.
Who has been amongst those, that he's in that small group of tight ends that are useful. Other than that, I'm not
and
quite ready.
And they're leaning on Austin Eckler. I mean, it's still Austin Eckler's show right now, right?
And may be the biggest beneficiary here, Daniel, is he is on...
on fire lately.
He's been unbelievable. He's literally on pace to shatter the running back receiving record, which even if you were to take away game 17, he would still shatter the record of 112 catches. He's at I think he would be on pace for 121 in 16 games. So remarkable. Remember that first 2 weeks where Austin Eckler, slow start, everybody's wondering what's going on with him. Those days seem to be very far in our rearview mirror.
Absolutely. All right. Stefania, we have watched, unfortunately, Matt Ryan.
This makes me sad.
Play his final snap this season as of right now.
We'll see.
With Sam Ellinger coming under center.
Everything's fluid. But Matt Ryan hurt as well, just to acknowledge he did suffer an injury. Grade 2 AC separation, basically the tip of the shoulder. When you land on it, damage the ligaments there. You get a gapping. That is a grade 2 separation. It's a tough injury for a thrower, and it would probably take him a couple of weeks at least to come back from that. But no matter, because apparently he is benched and it's not because of injury.
Yeah, this is a very weird. So there was the injury, but performance as well. As he leads the NFL with 9 interceptions, had a bad pick 6 this past week.
I just want to say this. Leads the NFL with 9 interceptions. Still want to give him a little bit of silver lining. He's still 4th in the NFL in passing yards.
Oh, yeah.
So I just want to give him a little bit
no
of
doubt.
Something.
I mean, he has been very busy as a passer. It's a tough one. I think we all agree that Matt Ryan sort of epitomizes class and was in the middle of a really awkward and uncomfortable situation as a franchise icon in Atlanta and could have made a stink. Instead, he kept his head down, eventually got traded. He made life easy on the Falcons in that regard. Seems to be doing the same thing with the Colts right now in a time where he could do the exact opposite. Let's talk fantasy, though, because let's start with the players that are not quarterbacks on this roster. Michael Pittman and... Pittman's been up and down so far this season, but better of late. He had that great game 2 weeks ago, had a fumble on 6 catches this past week. So not a monster day for Michael Pittman. Matt Ryan, Daniel, as you said, in terms of on-target percentage, he's been one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the NFL this year. 4th in completion percentage, and I know the completion percentage is often a byproduct, not just a quarterback's accuracy, but the type of throws that he is expected to make. So I think this could be a little bit of a downgrade for Michael Pittman Jr. as Sam Ehlinger takes over, former sixth-round pick, really talented guy coming out of high school, same high school as Nick Foles, actually. They're now teammates in the quarterback room together.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But, you know, kind of inconsistent as a thrower. I saw him at the Senior Bowl a couple of years ago. I thought he was okay. I thought, you know, obviously great, some serious, serious makeup and tools. Like, love the kid.
Time out, though, really quick. And this is not to take a shot at him, but this is the same Sam Ehlinger that they traded for, where they had him when they traded for Carson Wentz as well, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, so, he was a rookie, though, at that time. So, like, I get, like, they traded for Wentz
and then
prior
Wentz didn't
to drafting.
Work out, rather than go to Sam Ehlinger, they went to Matt Ryan. Like, this isn't, this is definitely a downgrade, I think.
No doubt. He's improved this year, but you're absolutely right. I mean, it's not like anybody was talking about Sam Ehlinger breathing down the neck of Matt Ryan during training camp, right? So I think from an accuracy standpoint, from a passing standpoint, it might be a different look for the Colts offense. But two things. One, I just think it's sort of logical that, you know, when you have a new quarterback, especially a young one, you might run the football a ton. Does that change anything from Jonathan Taylor? Not really. I mean, he's still...
We were already starting.
Even with Jonathan Taylor struggling, air quotes here, due to his own expectations, lock it in running back. I kind of wonder, and maybe this is getting a little crazy here, but fantasy football can be a little crazy sometimes. Sam Ehlinger kind of intrigues me in a two quarterback league right now. And maybe if things go really well, as a streaming option, because he's an awesome athlete, really good runner in college, had nearly 2,000 rushing yards during his time at Texas. So just file that away. Not starting him this week, obviously, not getting anywhere close to that. But just if we see him moving better than you might realize or making some plays with his legs, don't be stunned.
I think it hurts. So I think. The part that frustrates me about this is whatever I was hoping for Alec Pierce and like that next step. I think Sam Ehlinger under center is going to be tough for that because it's going to be Jonathan
Pierce
Taylor and
number three wide receiver.
I know
it's Paris Michael, Campbell. All I know, of a sudden.
Which is
so frustrating.
Weird.
You know, two second round picks. So I guess Campbell would say, I've got as much sort of investment. I've got the same scholarship.
He's had trouble staying on the field. It's been an issue for him. And it certainly didn't look that way in training camp. And, and Alec Pierce missed time with a concussion and all that. But I think he's shown what he can do.
Yeah.
Paris Campbell has been on the field, but hasn't been thrown to that much.
Until the past 2 weeks.
Until the last 2 weeks. He was the all routes run team. All right, let's talk about one more player here, Stefania. Russell Wilson. Is, quote, trending in the right direction, and nobody knows what that means. What does that mean?
Well, he's in London.
Okay.
And he's on track to play in week 8, is what I'm hearing. Despite a grade 2 hamstring injury, which was reported, despite the fact that he was held out of the week 7 game because of the hamstring, even though he was trying to play, he is on track to play. Look, the shoulder was not on the injury report last week. So as far as I'm concerned, shoulder's not an issue because they're saying it's not an issue. He's not getting treatment for it. He's not missing any reps for it if it's not on the injury report. The hamstring will be the thing to watch. He wasn't running that much anyway, you guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, for a guy that needs to now, in order to be in your lineup and have you feel confident about it, needs to be dissecting defense as a passer. How do you feel good about that?
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about this on the way in, is that like part of what makes this job so fun is that a lot of it is like joyful, right? What's joyful about discussing
joyful.
And analyzing the Broncos offense
Nothing.
Right now? It's
Nothing.
A mess. So if he does play, fine, but I'll still have him outside my top 10. Obviously,
I started Andy Dalton over Russell Wilson in the war room.
You sure did.
Oh, yes, you know.
Yeah. I know.
Yes. I was joyful.
I almost got Dalton in 2 separate leagues. I was going to lose my mind. Two people out of nowhere starting Andy Dalton against me. And
I just picked him up because I also had Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, my quarterback choices were a disaster in that league. God. Let's just leave that alone. And
speaking of quarterback choices, let's talk Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
Congratulations
Justin
to
Fields.
Liz Loza and the Chicago Bears. Yeah, because
awesome.
Justin Fields looked
Wow, he
awesome.
Looked great.
Here's a question. He looked like this was like a mini Lamar Jackson stat line, right? 179 passing yards, a touchdown and an interception, but 82 rushing yards and a touchdown on the ground for 23.4 fantasy points. And here's the thing.
Is this not what we've been waiting for?
Over 45 rushing yards in 5 straight games. That part is awesome. Field, is he working his way into this, like maybe streamer consideration with the last 2 games?
Yes, for one specific reason. The passing yards are gravy for me. It's about the utilization as a runner.
Yep.
And last night, the number of design runs I lost track of, but he had, I think, 14 carries in total for Justin Fields, 82 rushing yards. That part matters. And as we know, it's at such a high floor for quarterbacks if you have some rushing ability. Really impressed by the way that the Bears played as a team last night, but awesome to see from Justin Fields. Not going to move into my top 10 anytime soon, but as we continue to discuss the morass that is quarterback play so far in fantasy, if you either have a Justin Herbert or a Patrick Mahomes, or we get into weeks where there are six teams on a bye,
yep.
Justin Fields certainly will be a streaming option if he continues to be utilized this way.
Right. Those heavy bye weeks.
Utilized this way, right? Yep. Because if they keep making him a runner, then that immediately raises the floor.
I was really happy for him, though, because he just sounded so frustrated before. Like, you know, this whole Bears, like, we're almost there. We're getting there. He's like sick of that. You know, I think he knows what he's capable of, but it really hasn't been allowed to blossom in this offense the way they've been running it. So
I've also been a little frustrated because I think I know what David Montgomery is capable of, but they also keep giving the ball to Khalil Herbert.
Can't blame him though, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's Khalil been awesome. Herbert's good.
Well, I can't blame them, but from a fantasy perspective, like it's certainly something that limits the upside that I had of David Montgomery.
Might be a time. I think selling high is probably a little bit of a generous explanation right now for David Montgomery. But if you have David Montgomery and you have the chance to potentially move him for a usable piece, this could be the time because the box score looks fine last night, right? 62 rushing yards and plus the rushing touchdown. He's a good player, by the way. Him and Herbert are both good players. But this might be the time to consider a move from David Montgomery just because Herbert looks like the real deal. Like, and why, if you were the Bears and your offensive identity probably is best served to be a team that just pounds it on the ground, why would you not want to get a guy who, I think I saw this stat accurately last night on the broadcast, his yards per carry through the first six games was the highest yards per carry for any Bears running back in franchise history. Like,
what?
Yeah, he's been doing some crazy stuff, like six plus yards per carry. Oh, yeah.
No way.
Better than Walter Payton. I'm sorry.
I mean, think about some Gale Sayers, Walter Payton. Yeah, yeah. Like, even
I
more
need
recently,
to see that stat. Okay, I'm going to be looking that up.
It's crazy. Wow. It was a crazy, crazy stat.
It kind of looked like a mini, from that standpoint, it would be like a mini Philadelphia Eagles, where it's like, let's run the football with our running quarterback. Exactly. We're going to limit some of that. You
it
know
had
what I mean?
The feel of that.
Yeah. So, but I think, though, for fantasy purposes, though, like, Montgomery will be ranked highest.
Yeah.
He's probably the only Bear that right now I think will be considered a lineup lock for this upcoming week, even with some discouraging signs because of Herbert's emergence.
What about Darnell Mooney or Cole Kmet? Are there those guys? Like, no. I didn't really see a whole lot in this game.
Oh, all good.
All right. So what's happening in New England field?
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots.
What a mess.
Yeah, it just.
Does it make a difference which one of them is under center for us in fantasy? Like, I get there's we can talk about, like, it's fun for football. But when it comes to, like, Ramondre Stevenson, Damian Harris, or Jacoby Myers, does it make a difference which one of them is the quarterback?
I'm not necessarily sure about that. No, I don't think it does.
I don't think it does either.
Probably. I mean, maybe. I think right now people would prefer Bailey Zappe to be the quarterback for passing game utilization because in the games they have been at their best offensively, he has been under center. They were a mess last night from the start. And the ironic part is that the concern coming into the game was about Mac and his ankle. The only thing he did well last night was move.
Yeah.
He ran well, got in and out of the pocket well. He just, unfortunately, I was, my buddy who's, you know, I'm from Boston. A lot of Patriots fans talk to me during Patriots games. Mac Jones reminds me right now of a golfer who's just in his own head, right? That interception was the exact kind of play that Mac Jones, more than probably any quarterback in the NFL, could ill afford to make.
That Brisker interception?
I mean,
yeah, he also threw it off his back foot. Yeah. He's not right. Like, you might think he moved well, and maybe he got some treatment ahead of time that he did, but I saw things that I thought were indicative of he's not right, and I agree that his head's not right, but I just wish
that looks more concerning to me.
Step away and get, but it's all part of it. It's all part of it. He's been out in practice since like 10 days after an injury that was a potential surgical situation. Yeah. Mark my words, people, we're going to hear about something happening after the season.
So we're not really using either one of those quarterbacks in fantasy unless you're talking two quarterback leagues. But these running backs, you are certainly using. And Ramondre Stevenson continues to showcase the fact that he is the guy in this backfield.
Yeah, and this was interesting.
Damian Harris, first week back.
Stevenson's dominating.
Yeah.
Yep.
Stevenson looks great. Nearly 24 fantasy points last night. 8 catches for 59 yards. That was good. Such a capable receiver. He's going to be, by the way, Damian Harris will be a free agent after this year. So Stevenson could be a guy that we're talking about as like a top 10 option next year, assuming they don't make a major move and Damian Harris is gone. But what was most notable was that Damian Harris, who was not in the injury report, barely played. He had 8 snaps. So some of that might have been game flow. Some of them might have been just like sort of still, even if a guy is off the injury report, still some load management, so to speak. But right now you have a clear top 12, 15 running back for this week in Ramondre Stevenson and a guy in Damian Harris who, if you're starting him, you have to hope that what happened this past week was not due to a changing of the guard in the Patriots backfield because he barely played.
Yeah. Yeah. Barely played. And so you're not dropping him though, right?
No, you can't drop him. And because it may be that again, they just needed to get like, he was healthy, but still with the way that the game was going and the discombobulated offense, I would not be dropping Damian Harris, though. He's a really talented guy, too.
I was really frustrated because I wanted Jacoby Myers to get more targets last night, especially after that unbelievable
touchdown
catch.
Somebody else wanted Jacoby Myers to get more targets.
Someone in our guillotine league maybe needed them even more than you did, Daniel. Yeah.
Sorry about that. But listen, that was a beautiful, only two catches, right?
Yeah,
but
he's a good player.
He's a great player, finding a way to get in the end zone with his hustle.
Oh, he's so talented. Like,
Yeah. He's this guy, you're still starting every week in a flex play. Again,
that was just the most unpatriot-like performance I can think of in a long time. And they got some serious issues they got to address, and they don't have any margin for error left. We'll see who is the starting quarterback going forward. But on Sunday against the Jets, they better have a clear and decisive plan because otherwise...
That would really sting, right? Like the Jets-Patriots rivalry is so strong. I mean, this is going to be fun to watch.
Well, at least the Patriots have an insurance plan at running back in case Mac Jones doesn't work out field.
What do you think quarterback? Geico asks.
Oh, probably from Geico.
How would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Well, of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help you out. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV, even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
I just got some information.
Oh, did you? Okay, why don't you do that, and then I'll do my live read.
No, you do your live read.
Do
your live read first.
Sorry, no big deal. All right.
I thought there was just one.
I know, it's okay.
I'm sorry.
Go. Your kicker's lining up for an onside kick. The chances of regaining possession are slim. The stakes are high and tensions are even higher. Your pulse? Racing. He kicks and you watch as the ball lands. And make every play feel this exciting with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL and their unbeatable offers. Right now, new customers can make any $5 NFL bet and get $200 in free bets if your team wins. So check this out. In addition to the usual bets, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code FFF to get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Just place a $5 bet on any football game. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook using code FFF. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Bonus issued as free bets. One early win token issued to opt-in. Moneyline bets only. Deposit and wagering restrictions apply. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms. Rumor has it, we got some news in the middle of that live read.
Well, it's not the news you're thinking of, but remember when we were wondering what Hold Down the Fort meant?
Oh, my, this is what I wanted. You got to be kidding. Okay, what is it?
We learned things on this show. From early expansion of the West into Tennessee and Kentucky, the term was meant to hold the fort against the Native Americans. No wonder I didn't like the term.
That's why, okay, maybe we won't use it anymore then.
Know,
all right. Well,
who do we credit for that?
Friend
Kyle?
Of mine.
Kyle, who would be very... Johnny on the spot.
Kyle would be one.
What does that mean, Johnny on the spot?
I was just going to say, you did it again. All right. We're going to dive into the midway point. We're going to go through some players right now. We are halfway through the fantasy regular season.
Yeah, we are. If you play in ESPN default settings, you're going to have 7 more regular season matchups before week 15, 16, 17 for playoffs, or 15 through 18 if you play two rounds, 2 weeks each.
Yep. All right. And we are going to go through some players right now based on where they are at. Are they going to finish better or worse the rest of the way? So right now, I'm going to start with you, Stephanie.
No. Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to start with you. Justin Herbert, currently quarterback 8 on the season, averaging 17.3 points per game, 4 top 10 finishes with 3 finishes outside the top 15. Do you think that Justin Herbert will be a top 8 quarterback the rest of the way for the record? I think yes,
but I don't know that he moves up much from that. I mean, look what's happening with his receiving options, and I think he's still on the back end of the recovery from the fractured rib cartilage, and he's proven that he can play through it. But I think this is going to be a challenge because we don't know what Keenan Allen's health is like. He's lost Mike Williams for at least a month. I mean, you can't only throw to your tight end and your running back. You can.
Well, he can.
You
he
can,
might,
and
actually.
You will. Yeah. But I mean, we'll see what happens with Palmer.
Yeah, the Chargers owe the Bucks and the Packers a fruit basket because we wouldn't be talking about their offense, or we would be talking about their offense more if not for the mess of operations we have in Tampa and Green Bay.
Yep. Right? Imagine if they sent them a fruit basket.
Yeah, would Tom incredible. Would be like, well, actually, can eat half of
these. Avocados, yeah, maybe. Yeah. So, because they're from San Diego. That's right. Not yeah. San Diego.
Yeah. No, they're not from San Diego, Stefania.
Take
geez.
A lap. I will say, like, he'll be just around quarterback eight, but it has not been the problem. Like, the disappointing part has been the boom weeks. Where are the boom weeks at? Right? He was good for the first 2 weeks of the season, and since then, he has not been good. Five straight weeks where I would say he's been not where you'd expect him to be coming into the season.
Well, he's only so he can't throw the ball to himself, Fields. So. Yeah. All right, let's talk about Leonard Fournette, currently RB8 on the season, drafted as running back 10, just one touchdown so far on 103 carries, found the end zone through a couple of passes, but do you think that Leonard Fournette, with how he started and how these Bucks are playing, will be a top eight running back at season's end?
I think so, give or take a few spots, and the only way that this changes would be if some of the signals, and they're quiet signals right now, these are not pronounced five alarm fires yet, but there have been some suggestions that the Bucks need to change some things up personnel-wise. We referenced this on Sunday night. Todd Bowles talking about maybe needing to get some younger players in the mix more. They use a third-round pick on Rashad White. Maybe if White has a legitimate role, this changes. But I got to be honest with you, still Tom Brady's, it's really his team, right? But it's at least his offense. Tom loves Leonard Fournette. And Leonard Fournette's still getting the ball a ton, even if he hasn't been running the football near the goal line a whole bunch. Passing game utilization is very strong. I remain about as confident in Lenny as I was before the season.
It's not Lenny's fault he's not running near the goal line. Tom's got to get the team down there in order for him to run near the goal line. So I think I'm with you, though, on Leonard Fournette. There's just too much volume. Again, just volume, right? Too much volume for a guy.
Yeah, he's handling 77.5% of their running back touches. That's a huge number.
That's huge.
So that's sixth in the NFL for some context. So unless something happens that is not exactly unforeseen, but I would say more unexpected with Rashad White.
Fair. All right, let's talk Aaron Jones, running back 11 right now, drafted as running back 11, actually. It's been tough, though. 4 weeks outside the top 25 at running back. And here's his carry count over the last four games, 16. Then down to 13, then down to 9, then down to 8.
What's happened over the past 4 weeks?
He's catching the ball and just become a pass catcher and finding ways to get in the end
zone. Well, I was going to say more specifically, the Packers are bad.
Well, right? That's like just
they're
the
playing
last
from behind
weeks?
Now all of a sudden. No, I mean, they were 3-1 at one point, so yeah, they've lost three straight games.
Remember.
Yeah, so.
Because they don't look like a team that won three games at all.
At all this year. Yeah,
100%. I'm with you. It's a weird, there are a lot of bad football, as Tom Brady said.
Top 12 running back, though, Field, I think because of the way, regardless of how bad this team is, because of his pass-catching acumen with Aaron Rodgers and the fact that they've had to play from behind, like, I think he's a pretty easy top 12 running back for me rest of the season.
I'm not so sure I'm totally as convinced. You know, so much utilization, so much of his fantasy production so far has been as a pass catcher. We certainly hope that holds up. But something that's important to note that we talked about this recently is there have been some guys that were drafted ahead of or right near Aaron Jones who haven't been very good, right? Like Jonathan Taylor is an example of that. Guys like Alvin Kamara who have had some rougher weeks than you would expect coming out of the gate. So I think this is probably, I hate to keep using the phrase, but give or take a few spots. Maybe RB15 will be the line that I will be drawing with Aaron Jones.
Okay. All right. That's fair on that. What about Jamal Williams? I think this one's interesting. Running back 18? The answer is no. He's not going to be a top 18 running back for me the rest of the way.
Yeah, of course not. Right? I mean, this is the one that is...
Touchdown sustainability is not there, and he's not catching passes.
Really like Jamal Williams as a player, obviously.
And DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, DeAndre Swift will be back soon, right? I mean, he was getting lucky when DeAndre Swift was playing because he kept getting the short yardage carries at the goal line.
Yeah.
He has one game with multiple catches this season, right? He's needing touchdowns, and he ceded some work this past week to
Craig Reynolds.
Justin Jackson got a little bit of play. It
shout out
like
Kutztown. I know Mike Kutztown would say shout out Kutztown if he was here.
So, yeah, I do not expect Jamal Williams to retain top 20 running back value for the rest of the season. Unless this DeAndre Swift injury percolates and he's out for much longer, which doesn't seem like
doesn't
it's
sound
headed
like
that way.
It. Back in practice last week. I think he's coming back soon.
What about Chris Olave?
How about
Stefania?
Chris Olave?
He's had four straight top 20 games as a wide receiver. And he's wide receiver 14 on the season. Will he finish as a top 15 wide receiver on the
year? Yes. I actually projected him to be a breakout wide receiver this season. I thought he would move past Michael Thomas if Michael Thomas was playing. and Michael Thomas isn't playing. Mm. You know, Jarvis Landry isn't playing. They're not all the same player. I get it. Chris Olave is a deep threat for them, but it's worked out really well with Andy Dalton. That was one question. When Andy Dalton's in there, would they get the deep ball? But Jameis Winston is probably going to be back soon. I think maybe by the next week or two. We know he's going to look for Chris Olave. Chris Olave is just good.
Yeah, we need some positivity. We've had a lot of like negative stories throughout the show. So he's been a bright spot. Has Chris Olave obviously has dealt with a little bit of injury with the concussion protocol and still been a star throughout it. And the other thing that I think is underrated in this is that the Saints defense for the past few years has been dominant. Where like even in a year in which they are less talented than prior years, you'd say, well, they can still win games 21-17. They can't this year.
Yeah,
right. I mean, they are winning or losing shootouts more than we would have expected. They're 2-5 right now, are the Saints. Wow. And only one game out of the playoffs.
That's crazy. That's crazy. All right, Stefania, let's talk one more.
Everybody is.
We got Deebo Samuel here, wide receiver 18.
You know what?
Obviously, they just acquired CMC. But, like, is Deebo going to be a top 20 wide receiver the rest of the way?
Deebo has a hamstring injury.
Yeah, day-to-day now, right?
I am beyond aggravated with the number of injuries on the 49ers. And now Deebo Samuel, according to Kyle Shanahan, day-to-day with a hamstring injury. So who knows? I mean, one of the advantages they have in bringing Christian McCaffrey aboard is, well, you know, if Deebo needs a rest, they can do it. They can scheme plenty with who they have in Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk. They will figure it out. But look, this doesn't make me happy. To answer your question, yes, I do think so. I think when he's back, he's top talent. I think he's going to, I'm not worried. He played 86% of the plays.
I'm with you.
Like he's on the field.
Yep.
He is magic when he catches the ball.
Yeah, you expect this offense to hit its stride soon too.
Yeah, you really do.
They better.
The integration of CMC, I think it's, it may take some time, but it's going to be time for this offense soon.
They have had also, like I said, a ton of injuries, both on the offensive and defensive side of the ball.
I don't know how it happens every year.
They got to start looking at that because their numbers are terrible for a number of years. Yeah. And the thing is that it's hard to get in a rhythm when you don't have consistent personnel on the field.
Them and the Chargers, just it feels like they're, terrible.
Yep. It's not great, guys.
Not great,
Daniel. Not great, Bob.
It's not great.
Not great, Bob.
All right, let's move to another segment we like to call Squirrel Stock.
Let's go.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
What's that named after?
I have no idea.
Yeah, okay.
Let's start with the very first one. Let's do something positive because we talked about a bunch of negative things so far, right? So let's say something fun here. Squirrel Stock up for me here in week 8. First one. How about Raheem Mostert?
How about him? Yeah.
Look how he just snuck up on
the screen. 15 touches in 4 straight games. Yeah. In those 4 games, 4.9 yards per carry, 71% of the running back touches with Miami. Now Tua Tagovailoa is back. And guess who his next two opponents are? The Detroit Lions and the Chicago Bears. I love me some Raheem Mostert with the way that they have utilized him because it is obvious. Raheem Mostert is the guy and Chase Edmonds is not the guy, period.
You know what's so interesting? So when I went to the Dolphins camp, and I actually spent a lot of time chatting with Raheem Mostert. I had a nice long conversation with him. And that's when I found out how extensive this
car... You should be stopped down. I didn't realize you talked to him.
No, listen. I think I helped him, be honest. Okay, I mean, I'm going to take a little credit, right? That's good juju because he was still like working his way back. But he had a really... I don't know if you guys remember this, but the whole reason Jeff Wilson Jr. got a start was because Raheem Mostert was hurt.
Right.
And... or actually... Was it Elijah Mitchell?
Might have been.
Elijah Mitchell.
I think it was Raheem Mostert the year prior to Elijah Mitchell's arrival. Yeah. Down the stretch late.
I mean, I can't keep track because the 49ers keep screwing up with the running back injuries. But let me put that aside. Raheem Mostert came to Miami. He and Chase McDaniel... Mike McDaniel were so bonded from San Francisco. And he knew that if he went there, he was going to have a good opportunity. And he really came because... He believed in Mike McDaniel. Mike McDaniel believed in him. And I felt like if he got healthy enough, he would get an opportunity there that he wouldn't have gotten anywhere else. Because remember, he was a journeyman before he had that arc in San Francisco.
Right.
And McDaniel really believed in being able to utilize him in the offense, similar to things they had done in San Francisco. And it was just a question of his knee health. And now that he's shown he's healthy and can handle the workload, he's just run away with the job, literally. It's unbelievable.
We had like a mini, who was it? Glenn Dorsey situation right there with Stefania, where she just
Ken
picked up
Ken Dorsey from
From the U.
Thank you.
Wait, Glenn Dorsey, though. Love that guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Unbelievable college player. Him and I were together in Kansas City for a while. Hilarious dude. Hilarious. Great college player. Like, awesome.
So while I've got Raheem Mostert stock up, in part because he's been getting the work and because he's got two good matchups coming up, stock down for me is going to be all of the hero RB2 running backs that after, one of them being Chase Edmonds. We talked Chase Edmonds, right? He's going to be the guy in this offense because 2 years, $12 million. Well, that didn't happen. What about A.J. Dillon? We said, A.J. Dillon definitely is going to catch 50 passes in this offense. That's what I was told by Aaron Rodgers, at least. But instead, he hasn't reached double-figure fantasy points since week one. It's been 11 months since A.J. Dillon had a 20-yard touch. 11 months. He's not getting passing game work. He doesn't have any big playability. All right, well, what about somebody else that you used as an RB2, hero RB2 option? And Kareem Hunt. Mm-hmm. Kareem Hunt hasn't been getting any of the work that we expected either. Yeah. Has not been a top 30 running back in four of his past five. Doesn't have a game with 25 or more receiving yards. You know what Hunt does?
Catch the ball.
He catches the ball. If he doesn't have 25 or more receiving yards on any single game this year, I don't know what you're supposed to do with them. And what about Melvin Gordon?
Javonte
Williams went down, and they brought in Latavius Murray. And then Mike Boone goes down, and they're like, no. Just so you guys are, in case you were wondering, we don't want Melvin Gordon to just be the second guy. Yeah. And they bring in some Marlon Mack from that standpoint.
Actually, they didn't do that. What they said is Melvin Gordon's the starter. And then he's not, which is worse. We have lineups to set.
Yes. Everybody that we have talked about, if you did a hero RB2 build and you went with Melvin Gordon, A.J. Dillon, Chase Edmonds, Kareem Hunt, all these guys that we said, hey, there might be some upside for you here. They have all crushed you the first half of the season. It's just stock down on all these guys until something changes in their backfields because we haven't seen the changes that we need for them to be fantasy starters.
Got me thinking. Just very, very quickly. Everybody is wondering, okay, so hero RB, was that the right strategy or wrong strategy? You know what the right strategy is in fantasy football?
Draft the good players.
Get lucky. Yeah. Get lucky. Honestly, I have one team, one out of all that I played at that I'm like, each of my first six picks
all hit.
I have zero regret about them whatsoever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every other one, I'm like, I'm not that the teams are all bad. I'm just not there. We're like, oh man, like imagine if I had just taken him here. Like, you got to get lucky.
Yeah.
You got to get lucky. It's just the way it goes. I know that we spend the entire offseason agonizing and analyzing, but there's a million things that we could have never forecasted that have happened, and we're only 7 weeks
into
the season.
That's why we love the game.
Why we play the game.
Imagine if rather than drafting one of those four or five guys I just mentioned, you used that spot on Josh Jacobs. You know what I mean? Think about how different your season would be if you had Josh Jacobs.
And nobody saw the Josh Jacobs that we're seeing coming. Right?
Love people that like, you guys were, whatever. You only had Josh Jacobs as RB18. Can you find someone that had him at RB3?
Yeah.
You can find that person. Send them to me because I might hire that person to work with us at ESPN.
All right. This last one that I have is a little bit of fun. And it says Bengals here, but I just want to say, we often say a bunch of mean stuff about the NFL schedule makers because they give us crappy Thursday night football games. Because sometimes our Sunday night and Monday night games are not everything that we hope for. But I want to be positive for once. I want to put some positivity into the world.
Okay.
And I think they finally got it right here. This one is brought to you by Body Armor. More than just a sports drink. Gear up this fall with Body Armor Sports Drink. More than just a sports drink. And it is the fact that on Halloween,
I saw this,
we are doing orange and black uniforms. The NFL schedule makers found two teams with the right color schemes to embrace the Halloween holiday. And I love this.
Orange and brown.
Orange, and then orange and black for the Bengals.
Yeah.
But still, I think that this
orange
is
on Halloween. I thought the same thing. I'm like, they really, they sat around the league office and they're like, I know what we can do.
Hey, we can do this.
We can get the orange on the field for
my
Halloween.
My only comment here is that my daughter is celebrating her first Halloween and has the cutest costume of all time.
She does.
Can't wait to see it.
Why is that not coming up on the screen? You needed to get that to the producers.
We need that. Not a bad idea there, Stefania.
She's in her little pumpkin patch.
Oh, stop it.
So cute.
All right, so time now for Little Caesars Preview, which is brought to you by Little Caesars. It's game day with Little Caesars, the official pizza sponsor of the NFL. Pizza. And before we get to that game on Halloween, we of course have the game on Thursday night. The Buccaneers also wear orange. They host a team that wears purple in the Baltimore Ravens. Here's where it gets funny to me. So first of all, Tom, the season's begun now, my friend. You've only been doing this for 22 years. You know that the season has actually begun. Let's get it going. But I'm also very curious to see what happens with Gus Edwards, who, despite performing well last week, finding the end zone, he was really, really solid in his opportunities, only played 23 snaps. Does that number continue to gradually increase as he gets healthier and healthier coming back from that major knee injury suffered in August of 2021? Limiting factor with Gus Edwards is, of course, the fact he does not catch passes, but good to see him back on the field. On Sunday, we have the Rams and Stefania's 49ers once again. And 49ers are to beat the Rams. They seem to always beat the Rams in the regular season these days. But it's all about how do they further integrate Christian McCaffrey into the offense? Like, I have no doubt that if you gave me the choice of five running backs for the rest of the season, one of them would be Christian McCaffrey. He's way too talented, way too good to fail. The question I have is, how much more work does he get this week? Given the fact that he got 10 opportunities this past week, I expect a lot out of Christian McCaffrey. A reminder, this team paid 4 draft picks to acquire Christian McCaffrey. And can the Rams get anything going on offense? Not easy against that often very good 49ers defense. And then finally, Daniel mentioned the orange and black teams or orange and brown teams taking center stage on Halloween on Monday night. It's only Tuesday, so we have a lot of time left. But worth noting that potentially for the 3rd straight week, Ja'Marr Chase could be in a massive, massive smash spot because 2 weeks ago, Saints did not have Marshawn Lattimore. He went crazy. This past week, the Falcons limited, no Casey Hayward, AJ Terrell banged up, he went crazy. Denzel Ward, easily the Browns' best defensive back, one of the highest paid cornerbacks in the NFL. As of this conversation, still in concussion protocol. If he's unavailable on Monday night, Ja'Marr Chase could have another mammoth evening.
Yikes. As if we need another mammoth evening from Ja'Marr Chase. Oh, wait, I would love to have
that. Oh, I would love that.
That would be great, actually.
I mean, it's really interesting, right? Because they are Tigers, Joe and Ja'Marr, and then they were Bengals. So, like, if I'm them,
you're going to the Lions next. Lions trade, right? Bengals, no. Tigers, Lions.
Bengals are Tigers. They were Tigers, and they stayed Tigers in the NFL. I'm saying they should be Tigers for Halloween. Like, it fits.
Ooh,
Halloween,
it does fit.
Tigers. Yeah. Work with me, Daniel.
I'm sorry. I just heard cat.
You understand that a Bengal is a tiger, right?
Over Daniel's head.
I mean, I technically understand it.
Okay. Yeah. Now and that see, you can even look at the outfit or uniform for a clue.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
Stripes.
You know, but people always get mad at me because they say that I say like Bengal.
You say it like the 80s band.
B-A-N-G-L-E-S. Yeah, like a Bengal.
Bengals.
But it's not, it's, you know.
But it's endearing.
I say stuff wrong all the time.
Yeah, totally.
Totally.
Good job, Daniel.
I say, okay, let's talk. Let's do some Rive leads.
Good job. All right, the most wonderful time of the year is upon us again. It's college football season. Dr. Pepper and the residents of Fansville invite you to revel in another one-of-a-kind year of flexing your foam finger, humming your school's fight song in your sleep, and thriving on a steady diet of buffalo chicken dip and post-game day commentary, all washed down with a rich, delicious Dr. Pepper, of course. Another Saturday is always just around the corner, so make sure your tailgate doesn't turn into a failgate and pick up a case of ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve.
Welcome to a new age of business, powered by creativity. And IBM is helping to make it happen by creating experiences your customers actually want to experience. ESPN Fantasy App uses AI from IBM to analyze scores, stats, and millions of data points uncovering insights so fans can make smarter decisions and optimize their fantasy league-winning outcomes. Let's create something that changes everything. IBM. Let's create. Learn more at IBM.com/fantasyfootball. All right, coming back out with my man, Eric Moody. Eric, how are you doing, my friend, here in week 8?
I'm doing great. Fully caffeinated, ready to go. But I will tell you, Dop, I'm doing much better now that we're talking.
Oh, but that means a lot. I appreciate that. Sometimes I think I'm a little over-caffeinated. I don't know if you're ever over-caffeinated other than fully caffeinated, but I have a little bit of the jitters today. Hopefully you don't have that. Yeah, sometimes it happens. Let's talk about quarterbacks. Quarterbacks that we have on bye this week heading into week 8 for fantasy, Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert, which means you must have been listening to the podcast yesterday where I talked about Daniel Jones and the way that he loves to utilize his legs this year. Tell the good people at home why you also like Daniel Jones this week.
Yeah. Go pick up Daniel Jones if you're in need of a quarterback. So he set a season high in fantasy points on Sunday, 28.7 fantasy points, which is great. I'm like, you look at what he's been able to accomplish. He's overachieved considering the lack of receiving playmakers the Giants have surrounded him with. And you mentioned about his running ability. I'm like, it looks like he's on pace right now for 833 rushing yards. And so no quarterback had 800 rushing yards last year. So I love Daniel Jones quite a bit. I'm viewing him as like a QB2 with QB1 upside. But if you look at his upcoming schedule, we got the Seahawks, then they got a bye week, and then the Texans, and then your Detroit Lions. He's well positioned for success. Pick him up now.
Yeah, he has at least 20 rushing yards in every game but one this year. He has 60 or more rushing yards in three games. Daniel Jones has 60 or more rushing yards. That's a touchdown and a half when it comes to passing leagues. So love Daniel Jones at quarterback. All right, let's talk running backs where you've got Austin Eckler and then the slew of Chiefs running backs, CEH, Jerick McKinnon, and Isaiah Pacheco all on bye. Who do you like here in week 8 if you're targeting somebody?
Yeah, it's a busy week on the waiver wire with running back, but I'm like, and everyone can see this one coming. I'm like, if Gus Edwards is available in your league, you have to pick him up after his superb performance. What, 16 rushing attempts for 66 yards against the Browns, two touchdowns, his second career game with two touchdowns. And so he was ultimately a week winner for those that, you know, had the, I guess what's the right word, the... you know, who were confident in Edwards enough to put him in lineups. I was one of those people because I had to use him in one league. And so I was very happy with the results. But I think of it like this, Dob. I think of the Sun Tzu quote. You know, in the midst of chaos, there's also opportunity. The chaos with the Ravens is obviously having J.K. Dobbins out for at least 4 to 6 weeks. But the opportunity is there for Gus Edwards to really be an RB2 with RB1 upside for fantasy managers moving forward. So even though this will be a committee with Kenyon Drake, I think Edwards is going to be the lead guy. That's who you want to target. I'm looking forward to the future.
You know, it's tough because I understand that it's going to be a committee, but last week or 2 weeks ago, we saw Kenyon Drake look great in limited action. And then this week we saw Gus Edwards. And so I'm with you on Gus. I was unfortunately someone that had to start Kenyon Drake in a league somewhere else because I was just super thin at running back. So maybe I'll go out there and try to find Gus Edwards. Hopefully he's going to be the guy so that we don't have to worry too much. He can be the de facto guy within this backfield. If there's somebody else, though, if you can't grab Gus Edwards, is there another running back that you like this week off the waiver wire?
Yeah. Got to go with Deontay Foreman. And, you know, everyone was like, oh my goodness, Christian McCaffrey is now with the 49ers. What's going to happen here? But the coaching staff, they had a lot of confidence last week in Foreman and also Chuba Hubbard as well. And so you look at that dynamic duo, what they were able to accomplish. I know Hubbard ended up getting banged up. And so Foreman kind of took the lead. And you have to love the results. He looks like the more explosive back, in my opinion, out of those two. And when I think about, Foreman, I would say moving forward, we don't know yet if Hubbard will be available for week 8. I would say if he is, both running backs are firmly on the flex radar. But in the scenario that Hubbard is out, I'm comfortable starting Deontay Foreman as a RB2. I would say a low-end RB2 with upside for more, just given the volume. And I think they would continue to lean heavily on the running game. So I love Foreman quite a bit if he's available in your league.
Heck yeah. Love that as a secondary option there at the running back position. All right, let's talk some wide receivers on bye this week. Keenan Allen. Yeah. Mike Williams, Josh Palmer, you've got Juju Smith-Schuster, and like we already said, all those entire Chiefs that you maybe were throwing dart throws at. Who do you like here in week 8? Because Lizzo's and I talked about the Steelers wide receivers. I want to know which one of them you like here in week 8 off the waiver wire.
Yeah, I'm like, they're undervalued options. But my favorite, and I've been talking about this guy for weeks on end, I feel like, is George Pickens. I'm still very surprised that he's available in the percentage of ESPN leagues that he is. But you look at this for Pickens, over 14 fantasy points in 3 of his past 4 games. Superb. 5 straight games with at least 6 or more targets. You look at the Steelers team. They could find themselves, I would say, trailing in a number of games from this point forward. And you look at the chemistry that Kenny Pickett has with George Pickens. Don't underestimate that. I feel like the chemistry is getting stronger, you know, each and every week. And so we could be talking about Pickens, Dob, at the end of the year as like a league-winning waiver wire addition. That's how high I am on Pickens. So go pick him up. And I got another wide receiver, too, that I can run by you that I like as well, Dob.
Let's do it.
All right. So another guy, you know, that I've talked about, too, quite a bit is Wandale Robinson with the Giants. So finally, Danny Dimes has at least one receiver that he can depend on, and that guy is Robinson. So he scored 10 or more fantasy points in consecutive games at this point. Against the Jaguars on Sunday, led the Giants in targets with 8 and receptions with 6. And one thing I really like about Robinson is that he's a great fit for what the Giants are trying to do, like offensively. I'm like, if you're targeting him in the short to intermediate areas of the field, he is lethal. He was lethal in college in that area, and he's also lethal in the NFL, I believe, in that area as well. Plus, he's also versatile because he can attack defenses vertically as well. But if you look at his ADOT, average depth of target, in week 7, you know, it was 2.3, yards. And so on the surface, you're like, well, that's not very far, but he's piling up a ton of receptions. And then with the yards after the catchability, it's great for fantasy, but also if you're in a PPR format, it's even better. So I would pick up Robinson as well.
Heck yeah. I love it. Wandale Robinson with all the upside that comes with the potential. Like if Daniel Jones starts putting this together and listen, it's crazy to say this, but the Giants are winning football games. They are doing things in the way that they need to. And so if things can still come together, Wandale Robinson can be a great addition for Daniel Jones here as a wide receiver. Let's talk about a couple of guys. Unfortunately, if you're adding a few people, you got to cut ties with a few guys every once in a while. Eric Moody, who are you comfortable letting go of? Understanding, again, we want a caveat. We're not saying just go out and drop people just to drop people. But if you need to make space on your roster, who are you comfortable making space with?
It hurts me to say this. It's painful. I'm feeling the pain, but AJ Dillon. And this is a running back I was very, very high on this summer heading into the season. But when you look at how the Green Bay offense has ultimately turned out, you know, it's an underachieving, underperforming offense. So you just have to cut ties with Dillon, unfortunately, right now. You know, hope is not a fantasy football winning league strategy. And you look at Dillon, I'm like 14.1 fantasy points total over the last 3 weeks. And that's just painful to say. It's painful to hear. But if he's on your team, I would consider dropping him.
Hope is all some of us have left, Eric. All right. So I don't know. I don't know what to do about it from that standpoint. Let's talk about his teammate.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has been really tough too.
Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers. It's like, it's crazy. I guess we live in a world dot where we got like Aaron Rodgers underperforming, you know, Tom Brady underperforming, and Matt Ryan just flat out benched. It's wild times. I'm surely there's somewhere in the multiverse where things are working out for that trio, but you know, fortunately we're in one that it's not. So I would consider dropping Aaron Rodgers. The thing with Aaron Rodgers is that when I look at him, he's still, you know, throwing passing touchdowns. Like, he's still effective in that area, but my biggest concern with Rodgers is his number of pass attempts per game and his number of passing yards per game, just given the lack of playmakers that they have surrounded him with. And it's just not an ideal situation. The offense is underperforming, but I think when you're looking at other quarterbacks like, you know, Daniel Jones, you know, Tua's exceeded expectations this year, and it's other quarterbacks that are out there that I would rather have in lineups that are giving me more upside than Aaron Rodgers right now. So I would drop Aaron Rodgers and, unfortunately, A.J. Dillon. There, I said it.
I'm with you. Drop Aaron Rodgers. Go out and pick up Daniel Jones. The same floor is there with more upside for Daniel Jones and the way that he utilizes his legs. I have no fear at all in dropping Aaron Rodgers from that standpoint. Eric Moody, you are awesome. Thank you for joining us here every Tuesday. We love to have you, buddy. We will see you next Tuesday. All right.
Until next time.
We are going to be on to week 8. Liz Loza joins us tomorrow. We're going to break down everything that has to do with rankings and storylines. But until then, please know, we love you guys. On behalf of everyone from Fantasy Focus, please love each other. Be kind to yourself. We'll see you guys tomorrow. See ya.
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guy. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay, and you know that it's a fact. Every Yater's gonna Yate, 'cause he's on TV every day. A spicy tomato who's got the stats and tweets that'll make you laugh. He's our favorite host, and everybody knows his name. He's Field Yates.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.